My guest now, you know, I've got about 800 UFO books, I think, in my collection. And if I were to choose 10 essential books that I was going to take with me to a desert isle somewhere, he wrote one of them. And it's called UFOs and the National Security State. It was written back in 2000, and it was an instant classic. UFO researcher, historian Richard Dolan got an MA from the University of Rochester, a BA from Alfred University. He studied at Oxford. He's done a lot of work on national security issues, and that sort of led him into UFOs. And in 2000, he published this 500-page book that I just mentioned, UFOs and the National Security State. Past couple of years, he's been working on a follow-up. Not quite there yet, but man, it's a tremendous undertaking. And I got to run into him here in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. We got into all sorts of stuff. Richard, I can't tell you how great it is to have you back on the show.
It is my pleasure to be on Coast, and it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with sort of the question of the moment in UFO circles. You know, all the talk about disclosure and whether or not President-elect Obama will be briefed, whether or not, if he were briefed, he would release the information to the public. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. You know, when watching Barack Obama all through his campaign for the last really year since he's been a major public figure, he expressed zero interest publicly in the topic of UFOs. This matter was broached to him more than one time. You remember back when the Democratic primary field was more wide open, Dennis Kucinich, at that time a candidate, was outed, as it were, by his very close friend Shirley MacLaine, remember, for his interest in UFOs and his sighting of a UFO.
And took nothing but grief for it.
Oh, boy, did he. And so from that point, really onward, the UFO issue has been buzzing in the background. Hillary Clinton had UFO connections mentioned many times in relationship with her during the Bill Clinton presidency and the Lawrence Rockefeller Initiative. She avoided the issue, although it was always there. The media continually touched on this issue, due in no small part to that of other UFO researchers and activists who kept bringing the matter up. But Obama continued to dodge it, to avoid it, and he's continued to do so publicly and very, very astutely. When it's been brought up to him, he just, you know, cleverly, with some humor, sometimes will move right around it. However, there's a couple of key things now. As many people, I think, now realize, the head of his transition team to the White House is none other than John Podesta.
Yeah.
And, you know, this turned a lot of heads, because John Podesta was not only the former White House chief of staff under Bill Clinton, okay, but John Podesta does have a demonstrably strong interest in the UFO phenomenon. And not only a strong interest, John Podesta went public in 2002 with a statement at the National Press Club regarding the need to end UFO secrecy. And so, and in fact, I remember very clearly what he said, talking about that it was time for the government to declassify these records, and he was specifically talking about UFO records that were more than 25 years old, so that science could then have the tools necessary that would allow them to determine what is actually going on.
Let's
Now,
take this a piece at a time. Do you think Podesta knows more than the average Joe?
yes, I do. I do believe that he knows it. I can't say that I'm certain, but all signs point to yes. In the media, Podesta is always portrayed as a guy who's an X-Files fanatic. And this is back during the 90s when the X-Files was running, and that was his show, apparently, but also with a very genuinely strong interest in UFOs. Now, whether he's gotten actual knowledge being briefed, I can't tell you. I don't know if anybody of us really knows for sure. But what one does find in this field, you walk around enough, you talk to enough people, you find within the government circles, high enough levels, this goes for military and intelligence, people very quietly know things. And for a man to go public, as John Podesta did in 2002, who's a, you know, a man who lives in Washington, is a complete political animal, you don't just do that on a whim. So my feeling is he probably knows something very important. The other thing that makes me wonder about Barack Obama and whether or not he may go public is his relationship to another powerful political figure, and this is former National Security Advisor under Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski. This is less discussed, but I think it could be significant. Now, Brzezinski wasn't simply Jimmy Carter's National Security Advisor. I think maybe more importantly, Zbigniew Brzezinski is a close friend of David Rockefeller.
Oh.
And about 35 years ago, with David Rockefeller, co-founded the Trilateral Commission. And if you want to search around for an elite, one of the top elite individuals who is one of the go-to guys regarding global geopolitical issues, well, Zbigniew Brzezinski would be one such person. And it just says to me that Barack Obama is not just some outsider, as he's often seen. I mean, he's a relative newcomer to the political scene, but he has very significant inside connections. And so when you get someone like Brzezinski supporting you, and in fact, Brzezinski supported Obama back in September, I think, of 2007. So for a long time, he's had powerful support. I believe that the issue of UFO disclosure could very well be coming to a head in the next, let's say, 5 years. Now, when I hear some of my colleagues talk who are promoting disclosure, I seem like, you know, 5 years, my gosh, Rich, it's going to happen any month now. Where are you going?
We wish.
I think that 5 years is possibly optimistic. I'm not seeing it happen right away. It would be great from a truth point of view for President-elect Obama or the new President Obama to make a statement in the spring. But here's the deal, George. You come out with disclosure, and there are many, many problems that any president is going to have to deal with regarding disclosure. It's not just going to be this simple thing where, you know, you admit suddenly that the truth has come out and everything is all fine. Here's what a president is going to have to deal with. He's going to have to, after saying, yes, it's come to my attention that extraterrestrials are here and at least some of these UFOs are from non-human intelligences, he's going to have to deal with the fact that for many, many years, our military has had some kind of confrontational relationship with these objects, and not just our military, but it certainly appears all of the global militaries. He's then going to have to deal with a structure of secrecy that is developed around this topic that can only be called illegal and extra-constitutional. We can certainly delve into this if you will.
Oh, and yeah, we will.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to take a break. I need to take a break here. We'll continue with this thought. Also, I'd like to sort of pick your brain when we come back about whether you think, and I know it's just speculation, whether you think Obama has already been briefed or not.
Sure.
Stay with us with more of Rich Dolan on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. My guest, Richard Dolan, author of UFOs and the National Security State, and soon to be the author of the follow-up to that book,
yeah.
Whenever you get around to it. I know you're working hard on that, and
hey,
we'll talk about that.
It's just about done.
Oh, excellent. Good.
I just gave a lecture on the next book at the recent crash retrieval conference where you and I were meeting. It's a follow-up to the first history that I wrote. The first book was my Mondo attempt at history, covering the early Cold War years from the early 40s up to 1973. The second book is the second part of a three-part historical work, and it covers really the key years of the last two decades of the Cold War, from 1973 up to 1991, the end of the Soviet Union. And it's the same length as the first book, only somewhat fewer years, so it's a little more in-depth. Covering the whole gamut, George. It's military encounters of UFOs galore. Nearly 200 are in this next book that I've delineated, as well as research issues, the whole evolution of UFO research, which turned out to be a fascinating story. Government policies, the attempts to end UFO secrecy during that period, and possible abortive disclosure efforts that I believe took place in the 1980s and possibly in 1990. So
Well, you got me hooked. You got me hooked. We'll come back and talk about the book because I want to. I'm really curious about whether you knew what you're getting into when you started. But we'll come back to that later. I want to continue with this the possibility of disclosure. You were just suggesting that it would be very difficult for Obama or any other president to come forward and say, "Hey, yeah, we've been lying to you all this time."
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think that the problems are so immense, they are so deep and profound that even a new person like Obama, I mean, he's better positioned than anybody to come clean on this because he's the new guy in the political scene, right? So he wouldn't personally be accused of hiding the truth on this matter for years and years and years. So he's in a position where he can do it. The problem is that he's now the representative of an immense power structure that has had control over this secret. And so it's all the people who've been involved in the secrecy who's going to be on the line for this. As I mentioned, the structure of secrecy, I think, has been so deep, so extra-constitutional, you can only describe it as a vastly illegal structure. There are issues dealing with what are these secret programs about. For example, do we have a secret space program? It's entirely possible, and I think likely, that we do. Are we trying to build flying saucers secretly? Or I think the answer is yes. And so these would have to come out. Then it gets even more interesting. You're going to have to deal with who these other beings are. I mean, we can't just dance around this forever. So if Obama says, yes, the UFO phenomenon is real and there are aliens, it's not really going to work for any president to say, well, I don't know who these other beings are. It's not going to be believable. People are going to want to know, who are they? And the evidence points to the fact that these other beings have a very strong interest in us. They have been doing things within our society that many people may not be very happy about, including things like abductions. And then there are going to be the inevitable challenges, once all of this comes out, to our structure of power. What would disclosure do to financial markets? What would they do to our political system? What would they cause? Would there be legal actions being taken as a result of disclosure? So all of these things are going to have to be covered very, very carefully so that the people who have the secret are going to feel comfortable giving up that secret to the world.
Well, I'll ask you about who the keepers of the secret are in a couple of minutes. I want to first ask you, though, do you think Obama has been briefed already? I mean, he's had some briefings. Do you think somebody came and told him the news?
Well, I think that he probably will be briefed. And whether it's now, he's been elected only for about a couple of weeks now. How long has it been? About a week, 2 weeks? God, I'm losing track of everything. 2 weeks. I think he could have been briefed by now, yes. When you look historically at, we know a little bit about other briefings of presidential elects regarding key matters of national security, and typically they occur within the first month of their election, of course. In the case of President-elect Jimmy Carter over 30 years ago, we're pretty sure he was briefed on the matter of UFOs by then CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush. And I believe that occurred very early after Jimmy Carter was elected president. That's at least the story as it came down to us from Daniel Sheehan, who had some connection with the Carter administration back at that time. So I think it's quite possible that Barack Obama could have been briefed on the matter of UFOs by this time. It's a little early. I think that he will be briefed. Whether it's complete or not is another question. I had an interview once with a gentleman, a very, very high-level person, who knows a number of directors, former directors of the CIA. And I was able to get an interview with this person, and one of the first things that I asked him was, how much do you believe presidents know about UFOs? It's one of the great questions anyone would ask, right? Such a person. And his answer was interesting to me. He gave me the feeling that they're not all equal in how much they have known. It was a strongly held opinion, almost certainty, he said, that Jimmy Carter, George Bush Sr., and Ronald Reagan. So Reagan, Carter, Reagan, and George Bush Sr., he believed all were briefed fairly thoroughly on this matter. It was not his opinion that Bill Clinton or George W. Bush had been briefed fully.
It's like the keepers of the secret make up their own judgment about who needs to know and who can be trusted.
That is the impression he gave me. And one thing he said was, look, these presidents, they come and they go. They're not all psychologically at the same level. They're not all mentally stable, he said. I thought, wow. And they don't all have the equal level of confidence of that group. And so whether they get fully briefed or not, and he said others don't always have, really, they don't care. But the impression that I got was that President Bill Clinton may not have been fully briefed and that President George W. Bush may not have been fully briefed.
And Clinton wanted to know.
Yes, he did. He did. And there are certain apocryphal stories that have floated around regarding Bill Clinton's interests. First of all, we know that in the autobiography of his aide, Webster Hubbell, who was number two at Department of Justice for a little while, that Bill Clinton asked him right off the bat. He said, there are two things I want you to find out for me. One is, I forget what was the order, one is who killed JFK, and two is, are UFOs real? And Hubbell did, I think, a half-hearted attempt, it seems like, in his biography, to find out about UFOs, didn't get anything. But we have other signs of interest by Bill Clinton. He spoke about UFOs a number of times, indicating that he would want to know. And there's a story that got out, though, about him being angry within the White House, saying something to the effect that, I know this is real, I know this is going on, and they won't tell me a damn thing. Whether that's true or not, I couldn't tell you. It's a story that's floated around for quite some time.
And, of course, we know that we've heard often about Jimmy Carter's interest in the subject.
Right.
He actually gave some sort of an assignment to NASA. Hey, we need you guys to find out some of this stuff or study it, right?
He did. This is, in fact, being covered in my next book. I've felt that I dealt with this as thoroughly as I possibly could. Jimmy Carter did have a genuine interest in doing something about this, certainly as a candidate. Jimmy Carter was very open about the fact that he'd seen a UFO, and then, of course, the whole thing got covered by the National Enquirer, and I think he just decided, well, I'll make the best of the situation once this has come out, and said, you know, if I get elected, I will do everything I can to open up the books on this and to you know, see about doing a government study of the problem. He did try to hand it off to NASA. NASA ran fast and far from this. By the end of his first year in the White House, that whole issue was dead. The story of his attempt to give this to NASA is a very interesting one. It looks like NASA was right behind them with CIA saying, no, you're not going to do this. This is not going to happen. At the same time, letters poured into the Carter White House, thousands and thousands of letters from citizens. It was a fascinating time. And in fact, the Jimmy Carter presidency, even if he didn't intend this to happen, I believe was a key part key cause of many leaks that occurred from the military world to private researchers who started talking about something that had never been discussed before, and that is crash retrievals of UFOs and the storage of alien bodies.
I remember seeing in a Newsweek, and they have that little Periscope section back in the day, and it was during the Carter administration, there was like a two-line blurb that said, we're hearing that disturbing revelations about UFOs are about to pop.
Yes, that was U.S. News and World Report, if I'm not mistaken.
News.
Might have been Newsweek. Yes, exactly. There was a column that had the Washington Whispers, and that came out. It was his chief of staff, Jody Powell, I believe, was talking about this. There were a couple of possible initiatives that were going on in the Carter White House at this time. You got the NASA thing that formulated during the summer of 1977. And then there were a couple of others, and it looked like they all just died.
Hey, hold on, Richard. The Ozark Mountain Daredevils are telling us we've got to take a short break. We'll be back with more of our guest, Richard Dolan, talking about UFOs and the national security state. Don't go away. Coast to Coast AM is coming right back. We're talking about UFOs and the national security state with author Richard Dolan, author and historian, I should say, and we're talking about the possibility of disclosure. Are we about to have it? Has President-elect Obama been briefed already? Maybe the central question is, if he has been briefed, who are the keepers of the secret? Who are these people who have this information? When we come back, we'll put that question to Richard Dolan. Stick around for Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. We're talking about the possibility of disclosure with historian Richard Dolan, who wrote UFOs in the National Security State and soon to be Volume 2. Richard, you know, we're talking about this possibility of Obama being briefed and whether or not he would make a statement. It would seem just from a purely political standpoint that it'd be problematic for him to say anything to the public because, you know, maybe UFOs is ultimately more important than any of the other stuff on his plate, but it isn't more immediate, is it?
No,
not as immediate as the economic crisis. And
that's right. And in the long run for our whole civilization, it's very, very important. But the issue is, will it be manageable? I mean, what will he be able to do about it? I mean, that's the whole thing. Once you acknowledge something publicly, then you have to do something about it. That's the whole thing. And if we're not able to do a lot about it, or if he doesn't feel that he's able to do a lot about it, there may not be much of a motivation for him.
You know, I remember.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, this goes back. I remember I was doing a study of the, you know, the cattle mutilation controversy back. This continues to go on, of course, but it really became a big thing in the 1970s. And one thing that happened is the state of New Mexico authorized an independent study of the mutilation phenomenon, I think in 1979. And it was not what you would call a very open, detached study, and it concluded, almost with hardly any analysis at all, that it was all done to predators and coyotes and things like that. Despite how you know inadequate that study was, what could any agency actually do to a phenomenon like that? Admit that there was an unexplained phenomenon at work here that was killing livestock and doing it in almost a terrorist fashion and had never been caught? Because to admit that means now you have to do something about it. And if you can't, if you're not in a position where you can do something about it, there's very little incentive for these people to admit that there's anything going on. And
I remember talking to Bud Hopkins one time, and he would do this in his presentations. He would do this little faux presentation on the part of the president. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. These aliens are among us. They fly circles around our best warplanes. There's nothing we can do about it. They abduct us. Thank you and good night. Something like that.
Yes, exactly. But of course, it's never thank you and good night, because then you've got all the follow-up questions. And this is the whole thing. Because once he says that this is so, then you have the door is open. Not just what about abductions, but how much, sir, have you known about this secret? Have you had alien technology? Are there massive underground bases, as have been rumored, that have cost billions and billions and billions of tax dollars that no one has seemed to be able to account for? Now, how much money has all of this secrecy cost, as a matter of fact? And that's just the beginning. How did you fund this? How did you keep this from Congress? And so on and so on. And if you think about the example of the Soviet Union, that was a society that was built on over seven decades of falsehoods, continually modifying their history, airbrushing people out of photographs and so on. When Gorbachev came into power in 1985, he did so on a platform of openness and restructuring. And it was utterly electrifying. And, of course, within 6 years, the Soviet Union ceased to exist. It wasn't Gorbachev's intention. But the process of reform spiraled out of control, because once you say openness, then suddenly the people in Azerbaijan or in the Baltic states say, hey, great, we don't want to be in your country anymore. Remember, you took us over and we didn't like that. And so you open that door a little bit and you don't know where the story is going to end. And the same with UFO secrecy. We've now had secrecy on UFOs nearly as long as the history of the Soviet Union. Over 60 years. It's a long time. And to undo a secret of that magnitude, dear God, everyone is going to be implicated in this, not just the political structure, but the academic community. The media, the mainstream media is going to be deeply implicated in this. People are going to want to know, where have you guys been? Well, what obvious is that they've been licking the boots of the people in power and basically having a very incestuous relationship and not doing their job, which is independent analysis. Academia, the same thing. we're going to lose a lot of confidence, I think, as a public in some of our major institutions. And then the political scene, absolutely. Are people really going to believe that the Democrat and Republican Party leadership have been blissfully unaware of what's going on? Or have they just intentionally stuck their head in the sand? Or what happened? It's a failure of leadership. And I really doubt that people are just going to shrug and say, oh, well, you know, you did it for national security. Okay, no problem. I just don't see, maybe some people will, but I think a lot of people won't. And so there could, probably will be, a real political firestorm, unless it's handled with just some level of genius that would have to be necessary to rise to the occasion. And,
which is why you're guessing that it's not going to happen immediately, that if this guy is the disclosure president, he's going to have to lay the groundwork for it.
Well, I think disclosure is going to happen. It's a paradoxical thing with me, because I think it's inevitable that it will happen in the near future, only because the process of change in our whole society is going so fast. I mean, this is not, you know, 1990s. It's not the 1980s, and it's certainly not 100 years ago. I mean, the process of change is going faster and faster. Our technology is continually changing how we communicate. Something as simple and basic to us now as the Internet, you know, let's keep in mind, was just in its infancy only 20 years ago when the world was a very different place. I don't think in 1988 people could have predicted just how interconnected the world would be in just 20 years. And so that process is not going to stop. And what it will do is it will create instability of various types, political and economic, and it's in periods of instability that accidents can happen. So what I think will happen is that something big, unexpectedly, is very likely to happen that will force disclosure. So I doubt it's going to happen as a result of a planned process. It could happen, I suppose, but I don't expect that. I expect it will happen as a result of some kind of accident. Maybe something like another Stephenville, Texas type of sighting over a major populated area that is so big, so undeniable, that there's just nothing that the powers that be can do about it, and then they have to come clean.
Not necessarily a landing on the White House lawn. I mean, and I ask that question in this context, right. Richard, is that, you know, it's something that Whitley Strieber once said, that, you know, while our government is certainly engaged in a cover-up, the true architects of the secrecy are these other beings, wherever they're from.
Well, I think that's right, because they certainly operate primarily by stealth. They don't appear to be interested in announcing themselves in any kind of measure of equality. I mean, look, if we were studying gorillas in the African lowlands or highlands, it's not like we're going to walk up to the lead dominant male, the silverback male, and shake his hand and say, hey, you know, my name's George, my name's Rich, we'd like to establish relations with your tribe. So they may not look at us on quite the way that we would like them to look at us. They may look at us as farm animals. They may look at us as interesting little creatures who are on an interesting technological path, but maybe not necessarily as equals. And so, you know, seeing them landing on the White House lawn a la The Day the Earth Stood Still or other movies like that probably won't be the case. Now, they may have, there are rumors, these rumors have existed for years, of things like a human-alien deal,
right,
or their deals covertly done. I think this is possible. None of us know for sure. I wouldn't rule it out on a very covert basis. Maybe the kind of a deal that Western imperialist powers traditionally would have with leaders of third world, less technologically advanced nations, where you go in, you cut a deal with the guy in charge, he gets a lot of money, you get to have access to his raw materials on the cheap, and, you know, and those players are happy. The vast majority of the people, on the other hand, kind of get screwed over. That model could very well be a type of model that exists on an interplanetary scale. I mean, there's really no reason to assume that these other beings are more ethical and more moral than we would be, just because they have more advanced technology.
Or that there's one bunch of them.
Or that there's one. It's been my feeling for a long time that we, humanity, are probably the greatest show in this quadrant of the galaxy right now.
Oh, yeah. It's like a drive-in movie Saturday. Fly in and see what the crazy humans are doing again.
Well, yeah, the crazy and the maybe soon-to-be dangerous humans. Think about what we've done in 100 years. I mean, we've gone from horses pulling carts to automobiles, to radios, to airplanes, to atomic bombs, to computers, to intelligent computers, just about. And
space travel.
iPods, laser beam weapons, space travel, nanotechnology right around the corner, quantum computing. What is that even? It's a revolution, though, in computing capability. So we have invented, reinvented ourselves, and we're not going to look the same way in another 50 years as a civilization than we did 100 years ago. So that doesn't mean that we'll be able to take these other aliens in a street fight, maybe, but I have a feeling that we might be a real pain in the neck to them. We may have that capability.
Let's talk about the keepers of the secret, if there is someone like that who would have those secrets to brief President-elect Obama or anyone else. Who are they? I mean, you know, you might assume it's the Pentagon, it's the CIA. Maybe it isn't.
I think that they are involved in keeping this secret, but I no longer believe that they are the ultimate power arbiters. I think that what has happened is that this secret has gone international. And I think a good model to keep in mind as to how this might work would be to look at, take UFOs out of the picture and look at the power structure, as has become very, very obvious now when you look at international groups such as the notorious Bilderberger Group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys are real. The Bilderberger Group is simply a group of the most 200, 300 powerful people every year. They get an invitation only, and they meet once a year at some place, some resort in the world, every year. They are more powerful than the G20 leaders, and the G20 leaders get huge amounts of press every time they meet, whenever. The Bilderbergers get zero. But you've got the world leaders of finance, industry, politics getting together in total secrecy to do what? Well, to discuss global matters. And then they go back to their spheres of private influence and they try to make those things happen. That's how they do it. No one ever convened the Bilderbergers. They convened themselves. They're not an officially established body, and yet they have enormous influence. Same with the Trilateral Commission. Okay, another model along those lines. So what I believe is the case is that the UFO secret also shows signs of having gone international in that sense, in a somewhat informal way.
And private.
Private, absolutely, yes. Private. And, I mean, private and government, a little bit of both. These people straddle all worlds. When you're at the very top of the power pyramid, I don't think that they make these distinctions necessarily. But yes, I think private power is key. I've done a lot of thinking on how the secret becomes privatized. Go back to the 1940s and pretend that you're the president, Harry Truman, and your military leaders inform you that they've recovered technology that appears to have come from a different civilization. Right? So this is what I think many of us think happened. Let's say that happened. Now, the U.S. government has this secret and these artifacts, but at a certain point, if you're going to make anything happen with these artifacts, you're going to have to, I think, hand them over to leaders of industry, because they're the guys who make this stuff for you, your defense contractors. They have the R&D personnel. They've got the know-how to figure out, what do we do with this thing that we can't quite replicate? Oh, wow, we can make high tensile fibers, or we can do superconductivity, or you come up with ideas, and I think this is what happened. At that point, we have to ask ourselves, who owns that technology? Is it the government? Is it Lockheed or General Electric? Or is there some kind of secret, covert legal arrangement that gives joint ownership? Don't know, but I think the secret becomes privatized. And to make the knowledge and the technology private helps with secrecy, because it takes it out of the realm of government. It takes it out of the realm of public responsiveness. Because at least in theory, the U.S. military even is supposed to be responsive to the U.S. public. But private industry does not have any such obligation. And so, when your own government is dominated by members of industry and finance, it's really an easy decision to make.
So it'd be the kind of thing where, okay, we've got a crash saucer, the Pentagon retrieves it, they cover it up, and then they hand it off to somebody, and when people ask them through FOIA or whatever, what saucer? What are you talking about? They wash their hands of it.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean that the military doesn't have possession of these things. I think that they do. There's a lot of evidence showing that when UFO artifacts go down, that our military is there, and they get this, and they may store it. But the question is, who actually ends up owning it? That's the question. And I think that there's evidence that there are agencies. They may be secret government agencies we don't know about. I suspect that this is the case. For example, we have in our own country's history a long history of black agencies that eventually become outed, like the National Security Agency existed in total secrecy for a long time.
The NRO.
The NRO, even more so, for over 30 years without anyone even knowing its existence. I've talked with a number of individuals who lead me reason to believe that there's currently a large, significant black arm of government that is connected to the UFO issue. In other words, black arm meaning it does not officially exist. Certainly, I think it would be silly to think that the history of having secret agencies suddenly goes away in our own era. I mean, we had it in earlier years. Why not now? So I think that there's very probably secret government groups that are involved with this issue. But then who do they answer to is the real question. Do they answer to the president or some higher group, like a Majestic 12 type of group that exists on an international level? I think that's the case. And I think that they are on the model of a Bilderberger type of organization. I mean, they may not be connected exactly to the Bilderbergers, although there may be crossover in membership. But, you know, at that level, at the very top, these types of structures, I think, are a little less formal than, you know, voting for your member of Congress, for example.
Are you saying this, you think this black arm exists based on interviews with people that you've had with from the intelligence community?
Yes, yes. A few select interviews that I've had have definitely brought me to that conclusion. For example, I spoke to one very senior, I don't even want to give away this person's branch of service at this point, but a senior officer who had many, many years of service, a high-level person, and was connected to this topic, the UFO topic, and just said to me that at one particular base, there was data that was being collected from satellite and radar, primarily satellite, I believe, data that was tracking UFOs. No one would touch this area. You couldn't go there. But a couple of times a year, this group would come and they would download the data. No one had any idea who they were. They answered to nobody. They just went, took the stuff, and went off. Who knows where? Who knows who these guys were? No one knew. The implication that I got from this individual, though, in some other interviews, was that this seemed to be international, that they were beyond simply the authority of the U.S. president, that there were other authorities involved.
Have you heard the speculation, Richard, about, I think Stephen Bassett has come out with this a couple of times, that if Obama doesn't come out with disclosure, that some other government will, France or something like that?
I wonder. Yes, I mean, certainly it's a possibility. But again, I suspect that there are very, very important behind-the-scenes machinations involved here. And France and Britain both have initiated releases of some of their UFO data. I think some of that stuff is interesting, although I'm not as impressed by it as a lot of other people seem to be. I don't really believe that the British MOD files that were being shown seem to be of the highest levels of classification.
Ditto
the French files.
Whoop-de-doo for all those files. I mean, it's nice to see them. It's nice to know that they admit that they had them,
yeah.
But not many big secrets in there.
No.
Stay with us for more of this fascinating interview with Richard Dolan, author of UFOs and the National Security State. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM.